Okay, we're reviewing today the Drashas HaRan, the Drush HaShmini. Okay, so the Ran primarily is talking about the psukim where Miriam spoke Lashon Hara about Moshe to Aaron, about why Moshe separated himself from his wife. So she knew it was because he was a Navi, but she thought, well, me and Aaron are Naviim too, and we're married, so Moshe should stay married. That was her Lashon Hara. So the Ran asks, why did she speak up all of a sudden now? The Ran says, because she thought, till now, well, maybe he had to divorce his wife because he was too busy, and he couldn't possibly lead a normal married life, and therefore he got divorced. But once he asked for the Shibim Zakenim, right, that's what happens at the end of Baha'loscha, is that he asked for the 70 Zakenim to help him out. So she figured once he had the 70 Zakenim to help him out, he'd have more time. That's why she spoke Lashon Hara now. And her mistake was not asking Moshe. Plus, it wasn't a proper covenant to Moshe to make it like her nevuah and his nevuah were the same. So what's Hashem's response? Hashem comes down to Aaron and Miriam and says, Shimuna is to Varai here, na, my words. What does na mean? So the Medrash, the Sefri, I think it is, I forget, says anyway that Rashi brings in many times that na means please. So the Ran asks, what does it mean, Shimuna is to Varai? Hashem is saying to Miriam and Aaron, hear and please my words. Why please? Hashem is about to tell them what they did wrong, what Miriam did wrong. She spoke Lashon Hara, so why does he have to say please? He's doing her a favor by telling her why she's about to get punished. So the Ran says, because what happened was, the nevuah that came to them after speaking Lashon Hara about Moshe, when Hashem came to them, it was suddenly. Usually you have to work up, a regular Navi has to work themselves up to reach the level of prophecy. Moshe was different. Moshe would get nevuah at any time. So Hashem wanted to show Miriam and Aaron how Moshe's nevuah was different. So he came to them suddenly, like Rashi brings there, that they were screaming for water because they had to go betovel themselves before. Anyway, so that's what Hashem wanted to show them, that Moshe's nevuah was different. So because it's hard to get nevuah suddenly. Why is it hard? It's a big change. In other words, that's the reason people have to work themselves up. Imagine if you were in, this is the Ron's example, you're in a dark room for hours and hours and hours, pitch black room, and all of a sudden, sun floods the room with light. It hurts. It hurts your eyes. So to jump from being in a regular physical state to nevuah out of nowhere is painful. So that's why Hashem said, Shimuna, hear, please. Another, the Ibn Ezra, the Ron quotes, and also Unculus always, says that na means now. So if that's the explanation of Nas, then it makes a lot of sense. Shimunah is in here now, like Hashem was coming suddenly, and that was the point, to show them that Moshe got Nevuah at any point, and therefore he could never be tummy, and he'd have to be separated from his wife to be on a non-normal human life, on a more angelic life. Anyway, so the Ran says that this explains why Moshe had to be there when Hashem came to talk to Aaron and Miriam. In other words, the Ramban says that Hashem came there so that Moshe, rather, was included. Moshe was told to be there when Hashem came to Aaron and Miriam. Moshe was there because Hashem wanted to show Moshe that he was standing up for him, for his kavod. The thing is, the Ran says that there's two opinions in the Gemara. One says that Moshe heard what they had said about him, and one said Moshe did not hear what they had said about him. So if you heard what he said about them, okay. But if Moshe had not heard what was said about him, so then Moshe didn't hear that nevuah. The nevuah was to Aaron and Miriam. So then if Moshe just sees Hashem, or knows that Hashem is speaking to Moshe, to Miriam and Aaron, but he doesn't know about what, and he doesn't know he was previously insulted, so then he wouldn't understand what's going on. So the Ran says, he disagrees with the Ramban. Therefore, he thinks that the reason why Moshe had to be there is because Miriam wasn't at the level to get Nevuah suddenly. She was like the level of Nevuah that would have to work up to it. So it was because Moshe was there that through Moshe being there, she was able to reach that higher level where she would get Nevuah right away. And this is the basis of what a lot of what the Ran is going to say in this drush. The Ran says it's the same thing by the Nevi'im. That's where most of us know the concept from, right? Where when the 70 Nevi'im the 70s of Canaan, rather, came. So, right, Moshe got the Nevuah, and it spread from Moshe to the 70s of Canaan. And then afterwards, he had Eldad and Medad. But the point was, if the Nevuah came to Moshe, and it spread to everybody. So sometimes to reach a higher level, you need someone on a higher level, and through the Kedusha and the Shefa that could come, the holiness that could be in that holy person, it could spread to others who are there as well. So that's why Moshe had to be there, so that they could get that high level. And the Ran says this is not just true with Nevuah. The Ran says this is also true for Chachmas HaTorah, for Chachma, for a knowledge of Torah, that a person reaches a higher level of Torah by being near a Rebbe who's on a higher level. The Kedusha that Rebbe has, so he can give over to the Rebbe a higher level of Kedusha in his learning, because the Kedusha comes to that person and it spreads from him onto the Talmud. You know, the famous Gemara that the Ran quotes it, if they would have seen Rav Meir, they grew greater than their friends because they saw Rav Meir from the back, and if they would have seen Rav Meir from the front, they would have been even greater. Because when you can see the Rebbe, and it says, Chachmas Adam Tayer Panav, so when you can see the face, so that Kedusha can come off onto you. And the Ran says this is true for Nisim as well. Nisim also need something to start from. And that's the story with, as he's going to explain, we'll get into that later. Nisim also needs something to start with. And so does Nevuah. To reach a higher level of Nevuah, you also have to come, like he said, from Moshe. So he says that's the story with Elisha and Eliyahu, because Eliyahu, before he was going to go up to Shemayim, so Elisha asks Eliyahu if he could have double, you know, Eliyahu asks, is there anything I could do for you? And Elisha says, I would like to have double the Shefa that you had, Eliyahu, in your life. He wanted to reach double the level that Eliyahu reached in his life. So Eliyahu says, I can't do that for you, but if you're there when I go up to Shemayim, then you'll be able to get that. What does that mean? So the Ran says, it's exactly this point. A Rebbe is on the higher level. So he could give over to his Talmud, but it's not going to be on the same level, because the Rebbe is the source, and the Talmud is the receiver. So it can't be higher, it'll always be a trickling down. So the Talmud won't reach the level of Kedusha of the Rebbe. But when Eliyahu went to Shemayim, that was such a moment of incredible Kedusha. So then Eliyahu was raised to 10,000, you know, levels above what he had been in his life. And then since Elisha was there at the time, he was able to tap into that and reach a higher level himself. And this is the Ran says, explains Yiridas HaDoros. That's why every generation is lower than the one before it in Kedushas or Chachmas HaTorah. Because you can't be more than the source. It started from Moshe, and his Kedusha goes down to Yehoshua and to the Zakenim. It's always trickling down. So it's always going to be a somewhat lower level of Kedusha and Chachmas HaTorah. Except in this one case, really, with Eliyahu, where he reached when he went up to Shemayim, there was that holy level, and his Talmud was able to rise greater than he had been in his life because of that. But in general, the Ran says, this is the reason of Yiridas HaDoros, why every generation is on a lower level, because they get the Kedusha from the Rebbe before him. The Rebbeim reached this high level of Kedusha by all the Torah they know, and through that Kedusha they spread it down to the Talmud. So that's why the Ran points out, the higher level Rebbe you have, the better off you are, because you'll get more from it, not just in the, we'll call it the physical knowledge of Torah, in the sense of the actual knowledge of what's the correct pshat, let's say. But besides that, you'll also have higher levels of Kedusha. So that's why it's good to have a holy Rebbe. Okay, the Ran continues, it's not just being physically close to this Rebbe, even being in the same generation as something. He said, just like it's would be clear to most of us that if you lived in the generation of the Beis HaMikdash, so the fact that you're around and the Beis HaMikdash is around, there's such a Hashras HaShchina, so much Kedusha in the Beis HaMikdash, it's spread around to the whole world. There was more Hashras HaShchina, there was more Nisim, there's more everything in the world when the Beis HaMikdash was around, not just the people standing right next to it. So he says the same thing. A tzaddik is a makom of Hashras HaShchina. Hashem dwells with the tzaddik as well. So being even in the same generation as a great tzaddik is also increases your level of Kedusha and Hashras HaShchina, let's say, that you can have. And he says that's the reason why we daven by tzaddikim's graves, because their physical body that was a container of held so much Kedusha, so even when the neshama is no longer there, the body still has, the bones still have that Kedusha, and therefore if you daven near that and it's you're near something of great Kedusha, and your tefillahs can go higher. Okay. The same idea is for the Mata, like I was talking about before, that when Nisim happen, if they start from something with a great Kedusha, it helps. So the Mata that Moshe used, it was first used for the first miracle that Hashem did with the staff. And after that, Hashem always told Moshe to take that staff, because once there had been that, the staff had been around the burning bush and all that and turned into a snake and had that miracle happen to it, it's easier for it to do more miracles because it's now on a higher level of Kedusha. And that's why it was helpful to be around when Moshe hit the rock. Speaking of which, the Ran is now going to go into hitting the rock and talk more about that Mata and how what the sin of Moshe hitting the rock was. So he says, to understand the whole idea of what that special staff was that was used for all the miracles and why hitting the rock was a sin, he says there are three things you got to know. Okay. The first thing you need to know is Hashem wants to keep nature wherever possible. He always wants Teva, the natural order of things, to be in effect wherever possible. Nisim are always plan B. Plan A is always to have things work as much as physical as possible, and even when doing a miracle, we want to knock it down as much as possible, unless there's a need. Number two, and this is a little hard for us to understand probably, but the sodos, you know, fire, earth, whatever, the things can, once they're broken down, they change their form. His example is rocks, that when they're broken down, they become more fluidy, they become more liquidy, okay? And and the third thing is that once something reaches a certain level, it's easier to reach that level again. Once you've sort of, so to say, broken it in, once something has reached a certain level, so even if it loses that level, to get back to where you were before, it's always easier once you've broken in already. Those are the three things you need to know to understand what the sin of Moshe hitting the rock was. So the idea is as follows, according to the Ran. The rock was first hit originally, right? There was two times where Moshe was supposed to hit that rock or get water from the rock. First time he was supposed to hit it, second time he was supposed to talk to it. So in the first time he hit the rock, so that was to make it not such a miracle that he didn't just talk to the rock, but rather he hit it, and when you take a rock and knock it down a little bit, it becomes more somehow, I don't know if it doesn't exactly become a liquid, not quite that, but it breaks down and it can become more like a liquid. The Ran understands. The Ran says that, of course, you could sit and take a chisel and rock that and hit that rock to the end of the world, water's not going to come flowing out. But it was to knock down the nace somewhat. Plus, as he said, having the mata there was also helpful, because the mata is the stick, is the thing that had all the Nisim and Mitzrayim happen to it, so it was a special holy stick, so it could make miracles happen easier. Okay. So the second time when Moshe was supposed to hit the rock, so then it was a little easier to get back to that first level, so he didn't have to hit it again. There he just had to talk to the rock, and that would have been enough. And then it would give Meimav, the first time Torah says, and it will give water. Second time it says it will give Meimav its water, because it was already had given water. It was easier to get back to that level. So then he only had to talk to it. But he had to have the staff around, so that, again, like we said, having Kedusha around causes more Kedusha to spread. So that's why Hashem told Moshe to take the stick. And the Ramban says this is where, you know, Moshe got confused by that. Why was he supposed to take the stick? But he was supposed to take the stick, says the Ran, because having the stick there helps the miracle happen. But he was still supposed to take the stick and not talk to it. Okay, so now Moshe gets angry at them. Moshe gets angry at the Jewish people and says, Shimuna hamorim hamina sela zenutzi lechem mayim, right? You rebellious ones, so you'll see from this stone I'll make water come out. Now Moshe got angry. He shouldn't have gotten angry, because it was a reasonable request to want water. Like, why, when the Jews asked for bread, Hashem said, you know, that when they asked Kogan, they got it without any problems. So the Ran asks, why did Moshe get angry now? Why didn't he get angry till now and all the other times when they complained? Why here does he scream at them, Shimu Nahamorim? So he says, the Ran says, because all the other times they never complained about why they left Egypt, except by the Meraglim. But other than that, they had never complained why they left Egypt. So that's what got him upset. But they didn't mean it that way. They had meant it as in like a way to get Moshe to daven for them more. Because they had faith in Moshe that if he davened, it would happen. So that was just their way of doing it. So that was his mistake. He shouldn't have gotten angry. And because of that, he made a mistake. And instead of talking to the rock, he hit the rock. Okay, so Moshe hits the rock. And it says, on the Midrashim say, only a little bit of water came out. So Moshe thought, oh, look, only a little bit of water came out. Maybe I didn't have the proper kavanas. Maybe I didn't have the proper dvekas. I wasn't thinking the most holy thoughts. So he figured, okay, I guess I got to try again. So Moshe tried to have more kedusha and more dvekas. And then he hit the rock again. And then the water came flowing out. Okay. The Ron says it could be his second hitting didn't help anything, and it maybe even hurt it. He was supposed to talk to it, period. But either way, then the water comes out, and now here you have the people who are looking at this. It was supposed to be this big nace, and now the people are thinking, one second, this looked a little funny. He hits the rock, a little comes out, he looks a little confused, and then he hits it again. This looks a little funny. So maybe it would look like shenanigans, like tricks and trickery. So that was the problem. That's why Hashem said, Yan, Asher Elohim Antem Bila Hakti Sheni, you didn't have faith in me to sanctify my name. What that means, Hem Antem Bila, the Ron understands, it means you didn't, I'm not exactly sure how he fits this in the words, but you didn't have emunah you didn't pay attention close enough to what the words I said. That, I'm not sure how that fits the word emunah, but you didn't pay attention to my words, to have emunah in them, to know what I meant, and then it made this Chalal Hashem. Okay, that was the sin. He should have talked to the rock. Similar to what Rashi says, but you know, other Mefarshim say different things. This is similar to Rashi, should it? But it's with a lot more background. Okay. So getting back to the other theory that Ron talked about, that things come from holier sources can make kedusha spread. So he said again that's why the nevuah had to come, the nevuah to the 70 Zekanim. That's why Moshe had to be there for it. Okay. So now we're getting back to that story. Again, right, when Moshe got the 70 Zekanim to come, and they all got Nevuah, it was the Nevuah came to Moshe, and from Moshe it spread to the other Zekanim. Why did it have to be that way? One, we said, because they couldn't have reached that level without Moshe being around. Okay, that's reason number one. Reason number two, the Ron says, is because the following. He says, really, ideally, a place should be run by one person, a king. A president. It should be run by one person because you can't make decisions by, a lot of times things by, you know, when decisions are made by committee, they don't go so well. So it's better that, because everybody's got their own ideas, it's better that there should be one wise person who makes the decision. So that's why ideally there should be a king, and here it was Moshe. But Moshe couldn't do it. It was too hard. It was impossible. Moshe asked for, he needed help, so he asked for the Zekanim, the Shivim Zekanim. The problem was, though, now we got the committee problem. Now we have 70 theories. Moreover, if all these Zekanim are going to now get Nevuah, so it says that every person, the Gemara says, every person gets Nevuah in a different way. No two Nevi'im got the Nevuah, same Nevuah, but Signo Nechon. No one got it exactly the same way. So everyone would get their, I guess, mushal in their head, you know, that whatever the Nevuah appears to them as a certain mushal, they would get their Nevuah in their way, and then people might say different things. They got their Nevuah saying slightly different things, then it'd be a big confusion. So, therefore, since Hashem wanted still that there should be one dea, one opinion over here, so the Nevuah came to Moshe, and from Moshe it spread to others. This way everyone saw the same thing and everyone got the same picture. So everyone would be on the same page. That was the point. That's another reason why it had to come from Moshe. And then we have that Eldad and Medad were still having Nevuah after the show was over. After Moshe stopped having, and everybody else stopped having Nevuah. So Yehoshua got angry at them. Why did Yehoshua get angry at Eldad and Medad? So, number one, it was certainly, it seemed to Yehoshua to be a lack of cover for Moshe, that they wanted their own personal Nevuah. But there's two opinions in the Gemara, what Eldad and Medad were thinking. One version is, it says that the ones that were left over in the camp, right, Nishtairu B'machana. So one opinion of the Gemara is that they were left over because they were rejected. These were two people who had been in the lottery and had been rejected, that they were not going to be Zekanim, and they were trying to get Nevuah anyway. That's one version of the Gemara. The other version is they didn't come because they were too humble. They said, oh, we're not we're not fit to be from the Shivim Zakenim that rule, that are going to have such a high rulership over the Jewish people. We're not fit for this. So either it was because of their anivus, their humility, or just the opposite, because they were Bali Gaiva, and even though they had been rejected, they were trying to get Nevuah anyway. So if you understand, like the one that says that they were humble, so then Yoshua was wrong to get angry at them, because they had come, they weren't trying to get their own Nevuah, they had not come because they were humble, and Hashem had given them Nevuah anyway, because like the according to that Man Damer, Hashem wanted to show them, you made yourselves low, I'm going to make you great and give you your own special Nevuah. Okay, according to the other Man Damer, who says that they were Bali Gaiva, that they had been rejected and they were trying to get Nevuah anyway, then Yoshua was right to get angry at them, says the Ran, because they were trying to rule over the people. They had not been trying to be Nevi'im till now, and now that they had been rejected, they wanted to be Nevi'im. So that's why Yeshua said, lock them up, right? Kalim, right? Lock them up, because you wanted to rule over others, says the Ran, so now you should be locked up so that you can't even rule over yourselves. Okay, and what was Moshe's response? Moshe's response was, he didn't care. He didn't mind that he wished everyone would be Nevi'im. So the Ran says, what does that mean? It means if Hashem gave them Nevuah, it must be it's not so bad. If Hashem's masking, I'm not, you know, Moshe said, I'm not going to stand on ceremony. I'm not going to stand up for my honor. I'm happy. I wish everyone would get Nevuah. Okay. So, again, Moshe had to be there so that the Nevi'im could get the higher level of Nevuah. It's going back and then going backwards, Moshe had to be there for Aaron and Miriam, that they should get their higher level Nevuah. Now the Ran wants to go into this idea of, by the story of Aaron and Miriam, whether the two opinions, whether Moshe knew about it or did not know about it, what Miriam had said about him. So if you say that Moshe didn't know what Miriam said about him, so then the Ran wants to understand, why does the Pasuk say, again, if Moshe was not aware of what Miriam said about him, and it's the Pasuk then says, Moshe was an anav, and you know, Moshe Yavik anav mikol adam, I forget the exact lashon, but right, Moshe was a humble, so if Moshe didn't know what Miriam had said about him, so the next Pasuk saying, and Moshe was humbled, seems out of place. Well, everyone can be very humble if nobody knows they were insulted, right? If you don't know what was said, it doesn't show much humility that it didn't bother you, you don't know about it. So, the Ran says that it's telling you that Hashem was saying that the Pasuk is telling you Hashem didn't punish them because Moshe would have been makbid had he known. Moshe could care less. It's telling you Hashem punished them because Hashem wanted to stand up for Moshe's honor. But according to the Man Damer, that Moshe did know, so what does it mean that Moshe was an anav? So the Ran says it was to tell you that you should know that the reason why Miriam got punished is not because Moshe gave her an ayin hara. It's because Hashem wanted to punish her, and Moshe was an anav and never would have done that. And from this, the Ran gets into the idea of ayin hara. How could Moshe have hurt Miriam with an ayin hara? He says the way the ayin hara works is, he says that the higher worlds, this world is subjugated to the higher worlds. That person has an neshama, which is from the upper worlds. And just like a neshama can affect your guf, it can affect your personality and what you do, so too, your neshama can also affect other people's bodies. And he says you don't have to be on a high level to do this. This is not a mila. It would be a chisaron. It would be a low thing for a person to do this. For a person to have an ayin hara on someone else doesn't show that they're on a high level. It shows the opposite, usually. It's someone's very jealous of someone else and they give them an ayin hara. It means they look down on them and their neshama can affect that other person. As kind of a proof to this, he says, the Gemara talks about mazel affecting this world. Again, that was the paragraph that I'm not 100% clear about how that proves it. Not clear, but from this discussion, he ends up talking about mazel. He says, you see, spiritual things affect physical things. Either way, he wants to talk about mazel now. So, the Gemara says that if you're born under a certain mazel, if you're born under the mazel of Ma'adim, so then you'll have a certain star, a certain constellation, whatever it is, so then you'll be a bloodthirsty person. And you'll have to either become a shochet, a ritual slaughterer, or a moel, or, as in the case with Rava, who said, well, I was born under Ma'adim, I didn't do any of that. Well, they said, well, you're a dayan, and you hurt people that way. So, one way or another, you're going to have to deal with that tendency you have. So, So he says, if the Gemara is saying that being born under a certain mazel makes you a certain way, so then how can you get punished for doing wrong? Or how could you get rewarded for doing right if it's all controlled by mazel? So the Ran's answer is mazel can only affect your physical body. It can make you have a body that's more inclined towards a certain way, has a predisposition towards certain things. You're a hot-headed person or you're not a hot-headed person. But it doesn't control your soul. That's above that, and through your soul, you can affect your body. Maybe he's equating soul with brain, not sure. But either way, your soul can affect your body, and therefore your soul can overcome whatever tendencies that mazel puts into the body. Okay, and he says this is why the Gemara Nida famously says that the malach, when a person's born, the malach brings the tipa, when the person's about to be created, brings it before Hashem, and says, Hashem, will this person be smart or rich? And it's decided right then, right as the person's going to be created, not forget born, when a person's about to be created, will they be rich or poor, or smart or dumb? But it never says, will he be a tzaddik or not? Because only mazel can determine whether you're smart or rich, cannot determine whether you'd be a tzaddik or not. That's up to you. And like the Gemara also says that how many kids are your kids, how long you live, and how much money, that's all mazel. Okay? But being a tzaddik is not mazel. Fine. Now we go to the Gemara in Shabbos, Kufnun Vav. The Gemara says that all of that is true, and then says that one Tana says that there is Mazel Yisrael, and the other Amora says no, there's no Mazel Yisrael. So what does that mean? Is there Mazel for Yisrael? So if there is Mazel Yisrael, if that should mean that Mazel affects Jews, which means you're born predetermined to be rich or poor, which should mean that nothing can affect it. That's what in Mazel Yisrael should mean. The Yesh Mazel Yisrael should mean that you're born under a mazel, and whatever mazel you're born under, that's how it's going to be. So the Ran asks, if that's really true, then like, what's the point of davening? And what's the point? And how could the Torah promise you, if you keep my mitzvahs, I will make it rain and you'll have abundant produce? What do you mean? Tell me it's all mazel. So how could there be a machlokas about whether there's Mazel Yisrael? Can't be. It has to be. If the Torah is going to allow you to say that there's a point in davening, and your tefillos may be answered, or that you can be rich, you can get money if you do mitzvahs, how can that be if it's all up to mazel? So the Ran answers a very important thing, and the Ran says that, well, there's two ways to beat mazel. One way is by getting out of the way of mazel, as in not being there in a place where mazel can affect you, or the second way is to actually head-on destroy the mazel. So he says, what does it mean to get out of the way of the mazel? So his example was, imagine if you put on a fire suit, fireproof suit. So then if you walked into a fire, so even though the fire should burn you, but if you're wearing a fireproof suit, you're not going to get burned. That doesn't mean you put out the fire. It means you made it that you won't be affected by the fire. So he says, you can have that with mazel, in the sense that, let's say, a plane is about to crash, and a plane is going to crash, you bought a ticket on that plane. So, with mazel, person's going to die. There's no way, it would have to be an open ace for that plane not to crash, because you're on it. What could happen is, even if you hold that there is mazel Yisrael, and everything's up to mazel, and the length of a person's life is up to mazel, Hashem could give them siyata deshmaya, if they have enough merit, to decide, for whatever reason, I need to check this or whatever, and miss the plane. You can put it in your head to be late for lunch or whatever, I don't know, and you make a decision, therefore you end up missing the plane. So that's not destroying the mazel head-on. If there's a mazel that a certain earthquake is supposed to happen in a town, so to make that earthquake not happen because you happen to be there, so that would be against mazel, and if you hold that Yesh Mazel Yisrael, there's no way you can stop that. But what you could do is, Hashem can make it that you decide to go out of town that week. That's the idea. So even if you hold that there is Mazel Yisrael, in other words, that the Jewish people are under mazel, they could still get out of it, because if they do the mitzvos, and if they daven to Hashem, Hashem will send them the Siyata Deshmaya to be in the right place at the right time, to decide to be in the right place at the right time, or to decide to invest or not to invest, etc. The other Madamer, who we paskin like that, ain't Mazel Yisrael, that Mazel does not affect Yisrael. That doesn't mean to say that mazel doesn't affect us at all, but it would mean that with super schusim, if a person's on a very high level, so they could even head on beat the mazel, like Avram did. Avram was not supposed to have kids, and Hashem said, "Say meets Tagnina Shalcha, go out of your astrology." And the Medrash says that Hashem switched the names of two stars, something like that. There, that's a head-on beating the mazel. There's no the mazel. It's not just you fireproofed yourself. Hashem knocked down the mazel. So that's if you hold Yesh Mazel Yisrael. So that would be at a much higher level where you actually destroy the mazel itself, where the earthquake doesn't happen, whatever it is. You know, you totally change what the mazel should be, and we do passing like that with extra schosim Yesh Mazel Yisrael. But either way, whichever way we go, if you hold Yesh Mazel Yisrael or Ein Mazel Yisrael, if you daven, either Hashem can help you not be in that place, or Hashem may even destroy the mazel itself. Anyway, this is the idea of why there is tzaddik v'ra'lo, rasha v'tov, the famous idea of why a tzaddik can have bad things happen to him, and a rasha can have good things happen to him. Part of that is because of, I mean, there's many, many explanations, as we know, but part of it is mazel. If a person's born under a mazel, they're going to be rich, they'll be rich. They're born under a mazel to be poor, they'll be poor, even if they're a tzaddik or not. Again, except for tefillah and extra schosim, or the opposite, a general person is subject to mazel, and that would not make a whole lot of sense, except that the amount of reward and punishment a person gets in this world is not the end-all, right? Olam haba is where it's all evened out. But in this world, a lot of things won't make sense for that reason, because of this idea of mazel, that Hashem did not create a sun and rain for each individual person. There's rain for a general mass. There is the sun for a general mass. So if you don't like the sun and it's too hot, Hashem can't make you a special thing, right? Mazels are general things. And therefore, with special schusim, a person can avoid mazel's effect on them, but otherwise not. And therefore, that's how tzaddik v'ra'lo and rasha v'tovlo can happen. If there's supposed to be a disaster in a place, so then a person would need special schusim to not be there at that time, or to completely beat it. And he says that's the idea why the Bechoros in Mitzrayim, right? We still fast Tainus Bechoros today before Pesach. The Bechoros owe something to Hashem. The firstborn owe a lot to Hashem because Hashem didn't kill us, didn't kill the Bechoros in Mitzrayim. Now, why do we have to thank Hashem and owe Hashem and for not dying in Mitzrayim, for the Jewish Bechoros not dying in Mitzrayim? The Jewish Bechoros didn't deserve to die in Mitzrayim. Why is it such a nice that the Jewish firstborn didn't die in Mitzrayim? They weren't supposed to die. So the answer is the same idea that kivin shenitna rishus lamashkes einam avchin bein tzaddik l'rasha. Once a bad thing is supposed to happen, it doesn't see the difference between tzaddik and a rasha. That's this idea of mazel, that when there's a general klal of general gzeira, decree of something bad happening, so then it'll affect things in a general sense. And the Ran says that the Bechoros all had something in common. He says he understands the Bechoros have something physical in common, and that is that we're all firstborns are the first ones out of their mother's womb. So he understands that physiologically, Bechoros have something in common in that they're the first one out of the womb, and the mother's stomach is new, or whatever it is, that there may be something actual physical between that are similar to all Bechoros, and therefore there could be theoretically a plague that would only affect Bechoros. And he says, even though the Medrash says that it wasn't just the firstborn of the mother that died, it was the firstborn of the father, or if there was no one in the house, it was the firstborn. The one in charge of the house died. But he says that's drash. But pashupshat is, it's the firstborn. So he says those all have something physical in common, and therefore you could say Hashem made it, he understands that Hashem made some kind of disease that only affected firstborns. And since there was a plague that should have killed everyone, every firstborn, the fact that the firstborn Jews did not die, that was a miracle, and that should not have been. Mazel should have said everyone should have died. And the fact that they weren't, and all had that special schus of the blood on the door, which was that special schus, therefore, we got out of it. And that's why there was something special about the Bechoros. Okay, and then the Ran just says also how he doesn't understand how the mazel of a son, something like a physical son, can affect a spiritual midah, and he says that it's not really. It's the sun or the mazel, the constellation you're born under, can have an effect on your physical body and make you predisposed to be hot-headed or whatever. But like he said before, it affects the nefesh. The way it affects the neshama is that the nefesh and the neshama work together, and therefore if the body is predisposed to be bloodthirsty or whatever, it affects the neshama, in that they work together, and therefore the way the person acts will be different. Okay. Anyway, getting back to Moshe again. So Moshe's nevuah was different from all other nevi'im. And he says the way it was different is that it wasn't a typical nevuah, because a typical nevuah can either be, either a person can have a dream, or they could have a nevuah. A nevuah is where a person loses all their physical senses, they fall to the floor. So that's a regular Navi has that happen to him. But Moshe was different, and he spoke to Hashem peh al peh, mouth to mouth. Okay, so the next question is, why, when Hashem explained to Miriam and Aaron that Moshe's nevuah was different, did he say all these things that Hashem says, peh al peh al daber bo b'mar b'belo b'chidos? So he gives a whole long explanation of how Moshe's nevuah is special, that Hashem speaks to him peh al peh, like a person speaking to their friend, and Hashem doesn't show Moshe riddles, he shows Moshe the thing itself. Why didn't Hashem just tell Miriam and Aaron? The reason why Moshe had to divorce his wife is because he gets nevuah pisom. He gets nevuah at any moment. Finished. Why did we need the whole? Why did Hashem give this whole explanation of that I speak to him peh al peh and b'marav lo b'chidus? A whole long explanation of why Moshe's nevuah is special. Why didn't Hashem just say the reason? So the Ran says, really, it's better to know, instead of knowing the reason, it's better to know the thing that caused the reason. In other words, if you understand the root cause, then you'll understand the reason better. In other words, the fact that Moshe got that kind of nevuah peh al peh explains to someone who would understand why he gets nevuah suddenly. In other words, when a person gets nevuah, they can't stand up. They lose all their physical senses. And the reason why that is, and this is an important point, is he says that the way a person grows in this world, the way their neshama can reach a higher level is because of the conflict between the neshama and the guf. The guf, the body, wants to not do mitzvos, the soul wants to yes do mitzvos, and the conflict, if assuming you win, the neshama wins, makes the neshama grow. Kind of like exercising, that kind of way. So that's how the neshama grows, and that's why when a person's dead, their neshama doesn't grow anywhere, because there's no conflict. It's only while a person's alive and there's a conflict that they can grow from that. So the fact that Moshe, and that's why when a person gets nevuah, they fall to the floor, they lose all their physical senses, because there's a conflict between their body and the soul, and that's why the body has to just stop working. They can't function together. The fact that Moshe could speak to Hashem peh el peh and not fall to the floor, so that says that in Moshe's body there was no conflict, because Moshe had reached such a high spiritual level that he was almost completely spiritual, almost like a malach, and therefore someone on that high level could get nevuah at any point. And that's why, that's the full explanation of why Moshe got nevuah pisom, suddenly, and not after working himself up to it, because he didn't need to. He was always on that high spiritual plane. And also, just to end off, the Ran also says that Moshe's nevuah was b'mareh v'lo v'chidos. Moshe saw straight and not with riddles. That is to say that every other Navi sees a mashal. They see something that isn't real, some vision that isn't necessarily in existence, and they have to use their imagination to come to picture this idea. And then Hashem says then they get, that's a mashal to whatever their nevuah is. But Moshe was b'chol beisi ne'emanu, which the Ran says means his nevuah was more ne'eman, his actual prophecy was more faithful, more true, because he didn't see a mashal, he saw the things as it were. That's how the rounds ends off, and that's the end of the Chazara. Mirat Hashem, next time we will start the Drush HaTshi'i. Okay.